Hey, Dad.
Hey, Joel. What's up today?
Well, we, you know, now that we rebooted the podcast, we've been getting some questions from our listener and our listeners. After the last one, we decided we probably went from four to two when we talked about tithing and
but
giving.
But you can still say listeners.
Yeah, listeners.
Yeah, as long as it's plural.
Actually, the honest truth is, I found out that we're our podcast in terms of overall rankings, we actually have a pretty solid listenership.
Oh, so, yeah.
Don't know why, but anyways. Here we are.
They just don't know better.
Yeah. All right. So here's the question we got from our listener. I'm going to read it verbatim. Hey, and if you've got a question for us, shoot me an email, joelmalm@gmail.com or shoot it to dad, rickmalm@c10.org. Or you got one at rickmalm@c10.org.
Yeah. We are equally ignorant on all topics, so you can address anything
but
you want.
But we're glad to address it. So the question is, why do we attend church even when we don't want to or if we don't want to? Is it for discipline? Is it for habit? Is there a reason when a walk in nature, or a season when a walk in nature is acceptable and pleasing to the Lord? That's a great question, because I remember asking that every Sunday as a kid. Why do we have to go to church, Dad? And your answer was, because I'm the pastor.
And you're going to be there. No, that really wasn't it. I don't ever remember you really asking that, because I think you kind of knew the answer. You knew we were going to be there. Even when I wasn't pastoring, doors are open, we're going to be there.
Yeah.
That was just the way it was.
That's true.
And I think that made a big difference in our life, too. And, families that I see that have that attitude, where it's not a legalistic thing, because I don't think it ever was legalistic. Well, this is just, in my mind, it was just, hey, the people of God are meeting. Where else am I going to be?
Well, the legalism, though. There is an element of, we do this because it's the right thing.
Right.
Is that, that's not, I guess legalism is like, is it because it's pleasing to God?
Yeah.
And in some ways, I mean, Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some have become accustomed to doing, that's a verse for after COVID. I read a thing the other day that said a lot of people after COVID, they didn't leave your church, they just stopped going.
Yeah.
Or we made it too easy for them, step on some toes, because we put it online.
Yeah. And I'm not sure I think that's great, because the opportunity of outreach the church is reaching out to people who couldn't come. And then if there are others who could and don't, well, that's their problem. It's not the matter of the churches to decide, well, you could be here, so I'm not going to let you get it.
But right. Well, and there's always people that are at home. Like we've had a guy who's been going through cancer treatment, and he watches religiously every Sunday, but he just can't be out because of the chemo.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's a blessing.
So I think you're offering something that to people who can't be there because maybe they're, in the military, they're stationed somewhere else and they like to keep up with their home church or whatever reason.
But there's that element too, is people can use that as an excuse to not go to a church in their local community because they're watching online their whole old church.
That you can watch it some other time too. And probably a time zone difference anyway. So yeah, that's their heart. I can't control their hearts. I'm not responsible. I won't give account for their heart.
Yeah.
I give account for what I've done in my own heart.
Which, I mean, we're only 3 minutes in and you already jumped to the bottom line issue. I think what the answer to this question is it's, where's your heart in it at the time?
Yeah, but even if you don't feel like going, because I mean, it's kind of like, I don't feel like going to school today, Mom. Well, we'll stay home, honey. What? There's something you're going to get there or something you need to give there. Because that's the thing about church. Many times we don't feel like going because, I just don't get anything. And I told them, I had a pastor when I was, actually was on staff of the church, and one of the associates, Sam Kelly, came to me, and wonderful guy, discipled me and disciplined me a lot. And he said, I see you're not in Sunday school. I said, oh man, I'm just not getting anything out of it. And he goes, have you ever thought maybe you should go to give? I go, oh, dang, you're always doing that to me. So it's a place we are to go and not just get, but it's a place we go to give. And you say, well, you might think, well, my being there doesn't make that much difference. And maybe it doesn't make that much difference, but I use that example of a puzzle. If you ever put together a 1,000-piece puzzle, you get to the end and you only had 999 pieces. One piece is missing. And what's the most important piece in that puzzle? The one that's missing. It's not there. So going does make a difference.
I remember you talking to one time, this stands out to me. You said, there's something just about being in the presence of other believers where two or three are gathered together. Yeah. I am there with them. You know, he's referring to that, I think, in prayer, but I think it refers in general, where you've said you and Mom would be in a disagreement, and then there'd be a sermon on tithing, which had nothing to do with the disagreement, and you'd turn to each other and go, I'm so sorry. Like the Holy Spirit would bring conviction because you were in that right environment.
Yeah, I call it sitting under the influence of the Word and the Spirit. Because you're quiet enough to actually have to think And you may not be thinking about what the preacher's thinking about, but the word is coming at you and you're in an environment where you just slow down. You know, I mean, the world uses meditation as kind of their thing for doing that. I'm just going to sit and hum my mantra or whatever, you know, but this is about the only time we slow down enough to maybe allow the Spirit of the Lord actually speak to us about something that he's been talking to us about.
Yeah.
So that's another benefit of going, is just to sit quietly for a few minutes.
I've thought about that as a communicator, and I think this is why it can go to pastors' heads so much, is that I'm like, where else in the world do people come and voluntarily give you an hour of their time and listen to you?
It's mind-boggling.
And
it
can really mess with a preacher's head, because they're like, people like to listen to me. And it's like, actually, that should really humble you, because you better make sure that you're bringing your A game and the best that you heard from the Lord, because where else can you, maybe university, which also is why university professors, it goes to their head. They're like, these children are listening to me. Well, they have to get a grade.
Yeah. It's like,
so it can be really humbling.
And they paid to listen to you too.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, that's the funny, I mean, that's the thing about church is people are giving to the church. Yeah. Like we talked about in that last episode, you're giving to the church and you're, it's just a wild, church is a wild thing.
It is.
So let's talk about that too, because I've talked to a lot of people that they say I feel like I've outgrown church at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a walk in nature is what does it for me now. So I spend Sunday mornings fishing with Jesus.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I think that's patently ridiculous.
I would agree.
If you've outgrown church, well, you haven't outgrown church. It just shows a sign of your maturity. Immaturity.
You've just got a hard heart and an arrogant attitude, it sounds like it to me, because we can easily do that. You know, the walk in the nature is wonderful. Man, there's Sunday afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, walk in the park, do your fishing, do all that stuff. Jesus is there. I got a feeling maybe he's in church on Sunday. I know he's everywhere.
Again, where two or three gather together, I am there with him.
I'm there with him, yeah. I understand he fills the universe, every corner of it. But I just, you can't do Christianity alone, because you're just going to get all kinds of weird ideas in your head, and there's nobody there to say, no, that's really whacked. That's not really what the Bible says.
Yeah, that's true, man. I mean, how many people get off into really weird stuff? Mm-hmm. I was at a meeting the other day and this guy was talking about some weird stuff and I'm like, has he been to church in a while? And he's a young guy, but he's like, well, I feel like I've outgrown what the pastor can teach me. And I'm like, dude, I've been hanging out in the church 46 years and I haven't outgrown what the pastor can teach me. Maybe you need to find another pastor, but don't be all thinking you're going to figure it out on your own. And that's, and what ultimately happens, some people don't like it when I say this, but, I say this in one of my YouVersion devotionals. You and Jesus may have it all figured out, but it's how you relate to others that proves you've got it figured out with Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you can't relate to others because you're over here so high and mighty and lofty in your theological insight, what's really wild to me is most of the people that turn that way have not actually studied a lot of theology.
No.
They're actually, I mean, I love blue-collar guys. I consider myself kind of a blue-collar guy, but a lot of blue-collar guys that get so snooty about their understanding of the word, and they like leave church because they're like, they just think they're so much better than the pastor or something. Like, dude, come on, man.
I think some of that may be dealing with your own insecurities, because first of all of us are insecure, right? So and when you realize that, and when you deal with somebody who's like, what in the world, where are they coming from? Look, first of all, how could an insecurity cause them to react this way? Because we're all insecure. Because we know we're not what we were designed to be. We know we're far below what God originally created us to be.
Right.
We just know that. It's innate within all of us that we have an insecurity. So look at that first. And my guess would be that insecurity. So therefore, I need to make myself feel valuable.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you have vain imaginations is what the Bible refers to it as.
Which vain imaginations is pride, self-centered. Yeah. You know, pride is just focusing on yourself too much, which reminds me, you know, I was talking about, I don't mean to dog on blue collar workers, but blue collar guys that kind of decide they're like super better than church, but man, it really can happen too with the white collar educated elite too.
I think
about C.S. Lewis said, I love this quote. He says, when I first became a Christian about 14 years ago, I thought I could do it on my own by retiring to my rooms and reading theology. Cause I mean, the dude was a theologian, now we quote him like Jesus.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis said it. It must be true. And I wouldn't go to the churches and gospel halls. I disliked very much their hymns, which I considered to be fifth-rate poems set to sixth-rate music. But as I went on, I saw the great merit in it. I came up against different people of quite different outlooks and different education, which there's that thing of different education levels coming together. Gradually, my conceit just began peeling off. I realized that the hymns were nevertheless being sung with devotion and benefit by an old saint in elastic side boots in the opposite pew. And then you realize that you aren't fit to clean those boots. And he's, I love this line. He says, it gets you out of your solitary conceit. And I think that's the danger of separating yourself from the body is it's hard enough to keep your conceit in line in the body.
Yeah.
When you separate yourself from the body, you're not going on a regular basis.
Yeah, that the solitary conceit, that is a good word for it. Because again, it's easy to think, and we're talking here about, well, I know more, I got more understanding, I've got more insight. It's not about knowledge. It's about your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about your heart. Do you have the character of Jesus? Do you have the, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus? And then he doesn't go on to quote a bunch of facts. Being this mind had this God. And he knew that and he knew this. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he humbled himself. Okay. And so Christianity is not about what all the facts and figures you got in your mind. It's, are you humbling yourself before the Lord, before his people? Are you willing to be a servant? And that's, again, where you're going and you're giving of yourself, and you can't do that alone. And then, too, the passage that talks about is iron sharpens iron.
Mm.
You know, you become a dull knife if you're not rubbing up against something that's sharpening you.
Man, and that's another point, too, is like, ain't nothing can irritate you like working at a church because you're having to work with other Christians.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, even if you're volunteering as a greeter and the person who's in charge of greeting is a 22-year-old right out of college, and they come in and tell you, well, you need to be standing over here, Mr. So-and-so. And you're like, I've been going to this church for 40 years. I'll tell you where I'll stand. That happens a lot too, where you get the young people come in and they start to rub on you. But I think that's the beauty of it. Because a lot of times, most of us have life pretty much in our control. I mean, about it. Yeah, you know, you got to work for somebody. But most of the time we have life pretty much in our control. But when you go into church and you have to fit within the system of the church.
Yeah.
We did a podcast about this a while back about that Philip Yancey quote where the guy said, yeah, when I show up at church and come in late, they're distraught that I come in, or they look at me with these judgmental looks. But when I go to Alcoholics Anonymous, they stand and greet and applaud and welcome me. And I'm like, what a narcissistic. It sounds so beautiful because they're like, they knew I almost didn't make it. I'm like, dude, get over yourself. Get in line with the group here.
Yeah.
You're not the only one that made it to church. And like, I'm sure it was just as hard for some of the others to make it to
church.
And
there are some, it was so hard, they didn't even manage to make it.
Yeah. We are so narcissistic and self-centered. I'm speaking to myself.
But well, you know, the interesting thing is too that if the body of Christ is called a body. If you have a cell that has that kind of an attitude in your body that's all about itself, you know what they call that cell?
Cancer.
Cancer, exactly. And so, you know, you think you're coming to be a blessing because I'm doing my own thing, you know, and you should just be glad that I'm here. That kind of a cell is a cancer cell.
Yeah.
And so, man, I don't want to say we need to cut you out, but maybe that is. But, you know, there was a cancer cell that Paul said in 1 Corinthians, cut that cell out, get it out of there.
Yeah.
And then in 2 Corinthians, he had repented. He had humbled himself and he'd come back.
So give me a 30-second summary to make sure we answer the question correctly. Why do we go to church even when we don't feel like it?
Because, well, the scripture says to, but I mean, it's not even that. It's because it's for us. We need to regularly sit under the influence of the Spirit and the Word, and you're not going to find that on your own at home. And we need to rub up against other people so that we can be conformed to the image of Christ, because it's only by rubbing up against others that the rough spots in our own life get worked off.
Thanks for listening. Please consider sharing this with your friends on the platform of your choice. For more from Joel Malm, visit joelmalm.com. For more from Rick Malm, visit rickmalm.com. Our podcast music was produced by Alex Burleson.